It's Barely on Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans.
Welcome to Barely on Topic. It's been a few weeks. I wish I could explain it away very quickly. Actually, I probably could. People are busy. People are sick. I was super stressed out the last time I scheduled a recording session. So we decided between someone being sick and I'm being too stressed out and somebody being too busy to not do it. It's okay. We are a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. And I, of course, am your host, VA, and I'm here with Tim.
Hello, hello.
And my sleeping dog, Boomer.
Snore, snore.
Yeah, he woke up a little bit, so he was like, what the hell is that thing? I'm not going to do what you want me to do. So, all right, but trust me, he's asleep. I'm tucking him in. I'm multitasking. Yes. Ooh. So Tim, I don't really have much to say about the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't really either. Like, just beat the Leafs. That's all.
It did warm my heart that the Bruins overcame the Penguins and knocked them out of the playoff race, essentially.
Yeah, fuck John Henry. Absolutely.
Right. So that happened. And then the Bruins just against the Capitals and the Senators. It was like, oh, man. I went to that Senators game because I thought I'll be that bit of good luck that I've been all season long. And the Bruins did nothing with that. The game looked kind of similar to the night before, except with more penalties by the Bruins.
Yeah, I honestly, those last two games of the season, I really didn't have it in me to be upset about the losses because, like, the Red Sox are slowly, like, killing my soul game at a time. So, yeah, I couldn't even bother to be, like, upset about it. I was like, okay, they lost. Let's just bring on the playoffs already. Let's just get it over with. Let's do this thing.
I didn't say I was upset. I would like to see the Bruins being more akin to a well-oiled machine rather than backing into second place in the Atlantic. But, I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe they did that on purpose because who doesn't love a good matchup between the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Right. That's true. Any day is a good day to burn the Leafs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will amend this to there are probably some people who don't like that matchup, and it would be all of Leafs Nation. So
yep.
I did watch the penultimate Steve Dangle of the season, which was Game 81, where he didn't even talk about the Panthers beating the Leafs really much at all because he was so stuck with the Bruins series that's going to happen. So how do you feel about the series, Tim?
I mean, I feel pretty good about it just because it's the Leafs. Like, the Bruins could be like the 8 seed and the Leafs could be the 1 seed, and I'd feel pretty good about it. It's hard to trust the Leafs in the playoffs, right? Like, yep. like their fans know this. Like, their fans live this. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens, who were dog shit terrible, made the Stanley Cup final beating them because of, like, the pandemic and stuff. Like, it was like that was, like, their year to do it. Like, that was, like, the year for them to do it. And they just, like, lost to a shitty Montreal Canadiens team. Like, I mean,
And they were up 3 games on them, and they lost the rest of the 4 games.
Yeah.
You couldn't make this up.
No, you really couldn't. And I don't feel bad for them just because their fan base sucks so hard. And it's just a joy to watch them, like, in Maple Leaf Square, just all crying and, like, upset. Like, those pictures are just so awesome. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about the series. And I think the Bruins have the biggest advantage in net, obviously, between the two teams. And I'm begging. This is the one thing I am saying. I am begging. Begging. Jim Montgomery, do what you've done all season. Don't pick one and stick with them the whole time. If you have to have a rotation, do it. That's what got you there. Do what got you there.
But We have to point out that leading back to last season, Jeremy Swayman has been their daddy.
Yeah, he kind of has been. I mean, sure, have him start game one, see what happens, and take it from there.
Yep, I agree. Let's do that. But, oh my God, so many things have happened since the last time we talked. I mean, we found out that Jeremy Swayman is a member of the tribe. He and his father.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So exciting. He and his dad had a two-man bar mitzvah out in the Alaskan wilderness or something, or a parking lot. I don't know. Somewhere in Alaska.
Whatever it was, it sounds delightful. Like, I have to imagine anywhere you go in Alaska, it's probably pretty scenic. Just, I can't imagine it's not scenic. There's a place there that's not scenic and beautiful, right? Like,
yep.
I just picture Alaska being this beautiful national park everywhere, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know.
With Drunken Moose.
Yeah. Drunken Moose and bear trying to, like, catch their own salmon and, like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about it, like, that's why Jeremy Swayman came to Maine, because moose. He wanted to feel at home. Moose.
I mean, yeah. All it's funny. Like, Maine, he's from the one place where if you go to school from Maine to Maine, where the weather's probably better. Like, like it was probably an improvement, which is kind of funny.
Well, think about it. He also played in, like, Colorado, too.
Yeah.
And not all of Colorado is full of snow and everything, but it is pretty mountainous there. You know?
It is.
So
it is.
This guy is just
He's
like,
the man.
I like all the cold places. It's all good. So yeah, so we found that out about our dear sweet Swayman. You know, I had suspicions. I was not sure. You try not to, you know, stereotype people, but yeah, so that was a beautiful thing. I love it. Oh no, we learned that Darla passed away.
Oh, true.
Dear sweet Darla valiantly fought cancer and the vet tech. And she decided to go out on her own in the middle of a 10-day or 10-game suspension because the Boston Animal Control was said that she needed to be behind the closed door of her apartment and could not leave during 10 days. And then she would be freed via Zoom. Well, Darla passed in that time. So, I mean, Forber had a good sense of humor about it. And he wrote a beautiful, beautiful thing about her. So you can see that on Instagram. And I feel for him. You know, he was just like trying to recover from surgery and recover from her passing. So I'm not trying to erase Darla or anything, but Derek, get yourself a dog when you're ready and fully grieve. Don't be ashamed of it. So that's why I say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we learned about that. So that was sad. I'm just trying to think of all the things that we know. Pat Maroon finally he skated and he played a couple games. You know,
he did.
Yep. And I noticed him on the ice, not for anything specific, other than it's hard not to notice him on the ice.
True.
So, yeah, he is like a member of my all caveman hockey team. I just look at him and he just looks like Cro-Magnon man. With a slight mullet. So I'm just like, okay. So, you know, you have your obvious candidates like Brent Burns, I should say. And I mean, I would put any of the Stahl brothers there because they look a little rough.
They do.
Robin Lehner, wherever he is, he could be the goalie on that team because he also looks a little bit rough. I mean, basically, if you're trying to look like a Viking, like an old school Viking, you're probably going to be on this team, this all
sure.
Caveman team. So, but you know, we can think about that a little bit in the future. And listeners, dear listeners, if you have any nominees to the all Caveman team, I'm not sure if it's going to be in the past or the present only. We play fast and loose, so it doesn't really matter. It can be anyway. So,
Jumbo Joe.
Oh,
Jumbo
yeah.
Joe would be there.
Yeah. Basically, if you look like you have a nest in your beard, you're on this team. So yeah, so we got the Patrick Maroon show. Oh, found out that the Shattenkirks are having a new baby sometime later this year, but the Carlos are going to have a baby, I would say, anytime now. She looks ready. So
dad strength maybe for the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, come on, have a little Taurus baby. I'm ready for it. It's almost Taurus season. Activate all those Tauruses on the team, like Pat Maroon, as it turns out, and Brad Marchand and James Van Riemsdyk. Those are your guys who were born in Taurus season. There are lots of other things I'm sure we learned. I haven't taken any notes, but why don't we move ahead? I just, you know, I want to get to that Bruins Leaf series. You said leaves earlier, which is the proper thing to say. And I was thinking about how appropriate it was that the Bruins are often the team that tells them to leave.
It's true. It is true. And, oh, man, it's been... It's like five series in a row now, going back to like the 60s or something like that, that they've knocked them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they've never, according to Steve Dangle, the Leafs have never won against the Bruins in, you know, when they play a series since like 1959. Yeah, 1959.
That sounds, 1959, yeah. The Bruins won in 69, 72, 74. 13, 18, and 19. So, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I get it. Leafs fans, you have a lot of talent on your team. I can understand why you want to root for them. And it's not just because it's the hometown team or something like that. Because, you know, they have fans in other places outside of Toronto. But, your team just doesn't. They never have the right combination of people to put it all together. Sheldon Keefe, I'm torn. Do I want him to be fired? I definitely want him to be punched in the face. He's got a very punchable face. If you keep employing him, then this will keep happening, and I like it. But if you fire him, you might get somebody who's competent, and I don't know if I like that. But,
I definitely don't.
Yeah, so I kind of understand how you guys can have some confidence. You have a lot of talent on your team. No defense. No defense. Nope.
Which is a staple, I think, of the teams that the Bruins have beaten in recent years. No defense is kind of a staple, and like the goaltending being iffy.
I mean, it's like, I know you got Morgan Riley. He spells his name wrong. And that's dumb, but you got Morgan Riley, yeah. But he can't do it by himself. And also, he really can't do it by himself if he's going to go and just cross-check somebody in the throat and the head if he gets mad at how they decided to flourish on their empty net shot. So, Jake McCabe, he also likes to, cross-check in the throat. Is it McCabe? Is it McNabb? I can't remember what that guy's name is.
Ooh, it might be McNabb, but it could be McCabe because I think they've had both.
Yeah. So, yeah, that guy, Marchand was going to like fucking kill him because he's like, you don't do that. You have to cross check me in the throat. Yeah. So anyway.
Also, we'll be able to have we'll be able to bring back the you chose poorly memes like we had with Aginla when he chose the Penguins and the Bruins beat them in the playoffs with Bertuzzi. You chose poorly. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, and he has been pretty ineffectual for them.
Yeah.
Oh, you hate to see it, don't you? Not really. I'd love to see it.
No.
Yeah. Nope. My big problem, though, with the Leafs, the organization, their coach, and their fans is that they just take offense to everything and they think everything
absolutely
is about
everything.
Them. So it's like only they get bad officiating because I have done all sorts of research to figure out what the Wes McCauley thing is. You're making a hefty assumption that he's good friends with his brother-in-law or something, but Sheldon Keefe testified on his behalf, so I don't understand why you think there's this bias that McCauley has against you when officiating, and I don't know. It's just, it's the leaps, the mental leaps that they take with this thing to be so offended by Wes McCauley specifically and the officiating in general is just amazing. But, you know, it's like they are just so offended by everything. Everything. Hockey should be fun, guys. It's stupid. Yeah, we get mad at dumb things. But, like, you need to, like, cool it. And you need to stop being jackasses on Twitter. That's what I'm going to say. So, that being said, I really enjoy the fact that they are having this series together. I love a good Bruins-Toronto series. I have seen two of those games, I think, this year. I was lucky enough to go to two games this year to see the two teams play. And boy, oh boy, was it fun. Always is. Especially when we're winning. So I think the thing is, like, I have to wonder, how long is the series going to go? Conventional wisdom would tell you that perhaps the series won't go that long because the Bruins beat them in four straight this year. But the Bruins, they take some nights off. And I'm not sure that's a great thing to do in the playoffs, but that might very well happen. So we have to be prepared for this series to go to seven. Just in case. I don't think it's going to go to seven. I think it's going to go, I think four, maybe five. Maybe they'll let them win a game. But that's as far as I think it's going to go.
I think six.
Ooh.
I'm not willing to say four or five. And part of it is I got burned last year making fun of the Panthers. And I don't want to get burned this year. So I'm going to say six. And if it ends up being less than that, then I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. Yep. I think I'm going to make the bold proclamation of four.
Hell yeah. Someone's got to do it.
You know what? It doesn't even matter if I'm right. The Bruins will win the series. They will. So it doesn't matter if it goes to five, six, seven. I don't care. They'll win it. But I can't in good conscience say any more than four. And soon, dear listeners, I will be making the bracket challenge. I just haven't had time to do it today. If I'm lucky, I'll have it out up tonight. And you will have a crack at it when you listen to this episode, potentially tomorrow. I'm really excited, though. Ooh. I'm really excited because I texted my sister-in-law because I'm going back down to Newport tomorrow to help her out. She's got a broken leg. Oh boy, was it broken. Both bones. She's got scars right up both sides of her leg. It's pretty spectacular. So I'm going to go back down and help her out while my brother's up and away on his property up in Maine. Anyway,
Ooh.
I know, it's so exciting. So anyway, I am going to be down in Newport, and I texted her and I said, Claudia, we're watching playoff hockey on Saturday night. And she texted me a GIF of Mark Savard going, let's go.
Ah, hell yes.
She is not a hockey fan. And that is pretty incredible. And she's also 65 years old. So 65 years old, not a hockey fan. And that's what she texted me back. I think that's pretty spectacular myself. So I think that we're going to win this game because Claudia is going to be good luck. There you go. I said it.
I mean, hard to argue that.
Anyway, so other series that are going on, we can talk about that. Let's see. Who's Florida taking on? Is it the Islanders?
Ooh, maybe.
Or no. You know what? You know what I should do? I should open my phone and take a look at this like a smart person who knows how to use technology.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, not like I'm sitting on a whole ass computer right now.
I know. Like you would think. that I would understand
the
this.
The Panthers are taking on the Lightning. So Battle of Florida.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. I can't wait for the two teams to beat the crap out of each other.
Same here.
Wow. Yeah, Battle of Florida, that's good. I think that's really good for the game.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, because it's like anytime you have a battle of a specific area, I think it's just good for the game, the rivalries, the fans getting into it. The fans can travel to each of those venues pretty easily if they want to.
Sure.
I mean, it's a few hours from Tampa down to like the Sunrise, but you can do it. You can do it in a car. You could do it in a day and have time to just go sit at the hotel and drink some margs. That's going to be good.
Hell yeah.
I haven't really thought about that. I think that Panthers might come out on top, but I think that's a 7-game series for sure.
Oh yeah, I do too. I don't think it's going to be short. And even like this is kind of like a down year for Tampa, I guess you could say, based on their recent history. I don't think they're going to roll over. I don't think they're a team that's just going to lay over for the Panthers. So I think it'll be a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty fun. It's going to be pretty fun. And so then it looks like New York Rangers, who are the President's Trophy winners.
Uh-oh.
When I woke up the other day and looked at that and I went, oh, that makes me so happy.
It does make me a little bit happy, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, because logic would tell you that the road to the Stanley Cup final goes through New York, and they're going to be taking on Washington. I think they'll beat Washington. Washington.
I do too. And
Yeah. Five games. Five games.
Yeah. Washington, like, I think it's kind of a surprise that Washington's in the playoffs. They sold off a bunch of players last year at the deadline. And I think this was supposed to be kind of an in-between year for them. So the fact that they made the playoffs, good for them. But I don't think it's going to amount to much.
What's interesting is, okay, so Detroit was making that playoff push too, and they also had 91 points. But when it came down to it, I don't actually understand how they won this. How have they won the tiebreaker? Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay. So they had 40 wins to Detroit's 41. The overtime losses were 11-9. But I was looking at the ROW and Washington was 36 to their 38. So,
oh wow.
Was it differential? No, because Detroit won that too. I don't understand. I don't really understand
head
how.
To head?
Maybe it had to be head to head.
So the Capitals beat them on April 9th. That's okay. For sure.
Yep.
I don't know. Let's see. Back to March.
Yeah, they only need one other win.
Capitals and the Capitals beat them in March as well.
All right.
So
it had to be head to head.
Yeah. It had to be head to head.
Okay.
That would make sense. It looks like the Red Wings won game one of the series 8-3, which is nuts. But then the Capitals beat them 4-3 and 2-1. So
all right.
That got it.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about the Red Wings. Which is odd because, you know, the Red Wings had our number for a couple of games this year. But I really wanted the Red Wings to make a push to get into the playoffs, and they failed. But
again,
back to the drawing board.
I still think they're on the rise. I think they're on the rise. I think next year could be the year they break through and get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I basically am disappointed in both all of Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa. I thought that they would all be better. I mean, Detroit was better, so I guess I'm not that disappointed. But I thought Buffalo and Ottawa would be better, but Buffalo ended up firing their coaching staff, and Ottawa also fired their head coach and had an interim in the meantime. So,
It feels like it feel it's starting to feel like Ottawa is just going to be one of those teams that has like a bunch of young, talented players, and they just never put together the season that gets them to the playoffs or gets them a deep run. They're just always going to be that team that always has potential. Kind of like Buffalo right now, I guess.
Well, I mean, the one thing I can say about Ottawa is that the new ownership group took over right before the season started. Like, they had no real lag time there. So now, with the season over, they have a full, you know, off season to really get it together. Well, I think they also, didn't they fire their GM also? So, yeah, they got a lot of work to do. They'll figure it out. But, you know, the new ownership group didn't have a lot of time to do anything. So they might be better next year. But, yeah, they do have a lot of talent. I don't know if it's the right combination of talent. So, and I don't know if Jacob Chychrun wants to be out or not. You know, I know that they didn't like that DeBrincat wanted to be out, but DeBrincat wanted to go home. And I always think that if a player wants to go play in front of their like hometown team, I think that's a noble pursuit, honestly. So he wanted to play. Oh, sorry.
Watch him sign with Utah. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Chychrun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially since his former team was the Coyotes, which is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
He tried so hard to get out of Arizona, and then, oh yeah, new ownership. Yeah, let's try this.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. We'll get to that, but yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ottawa and Buffalo. Come on, Buffalo! I'm rooting for you to just get better.
We're all rooting for you. I think I genuinely don't know that there's a fan base that hates Buffalo, this the Sabres fan base, just because for one thing, the Sabres fan base really isn't that combative. They don't seem that combative. They deal with so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
They sell out that freaking arena no matter what. Team could be last place. They could have 50 points and they're selling out that arena.
Yeah, the fans don't deserve this bad team. And I don't think the players are bad. I just think that they don't have the right people in place to make it all work.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I would joke around that Don Granato is not as good at hockey as his sister Cammy. But wouldn't it be wild if his sister Cammy Granato decided she wanted to be a coach instead of an AGM? Wild.
That would be something.
Wild. She's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Wild. Yes. She's married to Ray Ferraro. Okay. I mean, we all make mistakes.
She's also the better hockey player in that.
Oh, of course she is. Way better. Yeah, he admits it, though. He admits it, so that's good.
That's true.
But good for her for being an AGM up in is she still with Vancouver? Yeah, it's with Vancouver because she was a scout for the Kraken. So, yeah.
Right.
Okay. So now let's get back over to this thing. So then we have Carolina taking on the New York Islanders. That's the other.
Man, that's like a bomb series. Can both teams lose? I just hate both teams so much.
Team Meteor.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like either team at all. I guess it depends. I guess the Hurricane. I'll go with the Hurricanes. Sorokin has kind of had a rough year this year after being pretty good last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely fallen back to earth, and that could be the players in front of him. I'm not going to put it all on him. I don't watch enough Islanders games to put that on all on him. But the stats show that he hasn't been great. They still have Barzal scoring some points and stuff. I forgot that they had Bo Horvat. That's right.
Overproth.
Kyle Palmieri's still scoring 30 goals in a year in the year of 2024, so that's something.
I know. I thought for sure he had to shave off his beard because of Lou and his antiquated ways. That was purely the death of Samson there, but nope, he fought through that. It wasn't the beard.
He certainly did.
Yep. I'm going to go with here's my pick, Rennie. Go with the Islanders, because there's just something about that Patrick Waugh.
Fair enough.
I think it's going to go to 7, maybe. But I think I'm going to go with the Islanders. Yeah. It feels good. I'm not saying it feels right. It just feels good.
It's always hilarious when Carolina gets knocked out, so that's good.
Yeah. I feel bad for Rod Brind'Amour, because I actually really like him. I just don't like his team.
That's fair.
Like, the only person on that team that I like is Jacob Slavin. I just think he's a good dude. He's very, very religious. And normally that would make me a little leery of a player, but I think he's just an honestly good dude. And I think he seems to know Carlo. They might be both religious-y people together, because they're both from Colorado. So, but you know, Jacob Slavin's a really good kid. He's got he and his wife adopted their first child. Now they've since had a second child biologically, but their first daughter she's black and she's skating, and she's going to be a hockey player. It's going to be great. Love it. And even if she isn't a hockey player, it's still going to be great. Whatever she chooses to do, she's going to be wonderful. I think it's really good to adopt kids, as you also may know.
I mean, yeah, adopting kids is great, I think.
Yes, see? So, and especially, you know, it's like, that was their first child they adopted. Their first child together, they adopted. I think that's fantastic.
Yep, well, that's what my parents did.
See? There you go. See, I told you. I threw you a bone there. I knew you would say something. I'll edit that out. Okay, so let's go over to the Western Conference. Wow, I said that really slow. I have paid zero attention to this, so excuse me if I flub some things, but it looks like Dallas has 113 points, and that's 4 more points than Vancouver, so they are the tops in the West, and they get to handle the LA Kings. Ooh.
Oh, I think is that for certain? The schedule that I'm looking at say it's not set in stone yet.
Oh, it's not set in stone because they're playing tonight?
Yeah, Vegas or LA.
Oh my God, there are games that are happening right now. Well, then we can't talk about the Western Conference. I'm just going to say, nope, that's for another time. That's for another time. You guys can't get it together, huh? You can't get it together to wrap up these games before the 18th. Well, we can't talk about the Western Conference. Sorry. It's okay.
It doesn't exist.
Nope. Nope, it does not.
East Coast, West Coast.
That's okay. You know who we can talk about, though? Let's talk about the Arizona Coyotes, because that's a pretty big deal. Well, they are no more.
They are no more.
All of that stuff happened really quickly. So let's just do a little deep dive. Earlier in this year of 2024, Utah Jazz ownership put out a memo basically imploring the NHL to allow them to have a team there. They said, we're ready. We want an NHL team. We're ready for it up here in Salt Lake City. So, and of course, you know that the Utah Jazz play in Salt Lake City. And truthfully, it's an arena that's not really set up at all for hockey. It is set up primarily for basketball. So they're going to have to do some things to get that ready at some point. And so, you know, the casual observer of this would go, okay, well, maybe they're talking about in the coming years, right? In the meantime, Arizona Coyotes, their ownership, Alex Marullo, oh boy, you know, he's been trying to get land and make some things happen. But we all know that his leadership of this team has been cursed. I think that's what the kids are saying now, is it's cursed leadership. And that, you know, they supposedly inherited bills that they chose not to pay, and that they were trying to negotiate down the bills, where he can't really negotiate down the bills of rent and taxes with the city of Glendale. You just can't do it. Okay.
No.
So they got kicked out of their arena. Now, I saw something today that said, oh, they got kicked out of their arena because they refused to sign a long-term deal. I'm like, no, they got kicked out of their arena because they took so long to pay their rent that basically they said, we're not going to allow you to sign a deal. It would be like year to year or something, maybe, but we don't have that much faith in you. So they got kicked out of that. They went to Mullet Arena, which they shared with, what was it, Arizona State? Or is it Arizona?
Arizona State. Yeah,
the Arizona Sun Devils. State. Yeah. So they're sharing that very small arena with Arizona State, and they could not have possibly been making money on that. It was like a
5,000 seat arena. Can't have been making money. And yeah, Glendale basically said, you can't quit us because we quit you.
Right. Right. So then, you know, two land deals fell apart. And then we also found out that earlier this year, the Coyotes were trying to, and not only had they been stiffing their players because some of their paychecks did not clear and they bounced. That's the opposite of clearing. We also found out that they've been trying to stiff hotels since last year.
Yep.
So earlier this year, I guess, you know, basically the NHL uses the same hotels in every city. Which is convenient because they know what the needs are and they know, you know, who's coming through and all of that. It makes a lot of sense. Well, those hotels basically said to the Coyotes, no, 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 you need to present a cashier's check before you check in because you're not going to stiff us. How much of a black eye is that on this NHL? To have one of your teams consistently not paying things.
Yeah, yeah. It's wild that they let that happen. Morello deserves nothing good in life. He's never operated in good faith with this franchise as its owner. It's all been, like, he's been operating as if he's either going to relocate the team or as if he's going to sell the team or as both. This whole time, like it was like a giant money laundering scheme for him.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way. And like their salary cap number versus the real money they were paying was such an insane discrepancy because they just took on a bunch of people for LTIR.
Yep.
And just an absolute shit show.
And the thing about LTIR things is that while it's a cap hit, often the implications of those contracts are that those later years on those contracts are like $1 million as opposed to $12 million up front, you know? So it's like you only have to pay the remaining salary, not the salary cap number. So.
Right. And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times those. Depending on the injury, depending on the LTIR, those contracts are insured depending on the size of the contract. And if the contract is insured by the team, that means they get it back anyway.
Yeah. So they have the advantage of looking like they're spending to the cap or above the cap floor. And they're not really spending any money on this.
Exactly.
So their payroll is less. Yeah. So it's pretty shady. I agree with you with the money laundering thing. I think I said that in the beginning when we heard about the taxes problems and the negotiating down.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So anyway, yeah. So then in the last couple of weeks, last like maybe month, the NHL has been maneuvering, talking to Morello, talking to Salt Lake City, trying to get I think they've been trying to keep some of this stuff out of the press, like the hotel bill thing. And, you know, you can't stop the players from talking about how their checks bounce. But, you know, they were trying to minimize that damage while trying to get Morello out of this ownership. And so you know, when Salt Lake City, I don't know if Salt Lake City on their own provided that memo or if they were encouraged by the NHL to do so. But it was very big news. But, you know, like I said, casually, I'm not thinking about it for this year. Well, as it turns out, things have happened. Things are happening. The Arizona Coyotes are no longer owned by Murillo, who didn't even bother to show up for their final game yesterday.
No, and his excuse was bullshit. I was finalizing the deal. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. We learned that he only agreed to sell the team if he could retain the rights to the Coyotes' name, logo, and proprietary stuff, right? Right. So he's getting $1.2 billion, but and he has the ability in 5 years, within 5 years, to resuscitate the Coyotes if he can get something built, like an actual arena entertainment complex built, and he has to pay back the $1.2 billion to buy the team, to buy an expansion team, basically, right? Which right. is very expensive because it's like, you know, I don't remember exactly how much it was for Vegas or for the Kraken, but it wasn't $1 billion. It was like $500 million, $750 million, you know, which the owners get a cut of. And they kind of want this done before the CBA expires because they don't have to share that money with the players, right?
With Vegas, T-Mobile Arena was already built, right? So
yep.
So they had the luxury of having that there because it was a pretty big venue for UFC, boxing, concerts, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful arena.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. You've been, right?
Yes, I have. You can stay on the strip. So you can stay in that pyramid if you want to, or in that Excalibur, which is... yeah, or New York, New York. You could stay in all of those places and simply walk through the hotels to get down to the main pathway down to T-Mobile. And it's great because there's all these like there's like a bar or something, all these food places, so you can have fun and pregame before you walk down to the arena. It's beautiful, and the arena is very nice, and it is a fun time. So fun. I don't care if people are tired of the tacky ceremony stuff that they do. I love it. Keep doing it. Be Vegas.
Oh yeah.
Be fun.
Yeah, if you're going to be Vegas, be unapologetically Vegas.
Exactly. Enjoy the spectacle. I don't care if you're like, well, don't go then. If you can't be fun, don't go. But I loved it. I would go again. I would. Maybe not if the Bruins are playing. The Bruins did not win that game, but you know, I'd go again. It was fun. I probably would not pick the seats I did because you have to walk down into the bowl and it's a little bit like scary. Yeah, like I was in the balcony, but I had to walk down quite a bit. It's not like at TD Garden where you can kind of walk up this ramp and you can, you know, either go up or go down depending on where you are in the stadium. You know, it's right. Like, so like for Ben's seats, we usually go up to the bar above and then just walk down a couple steps to get to his seats. But in other places, you just walk up the ramp and just go up a couple stairs to get to your seats in your aisle. At T-Mobile, you don't do that. It's in the balcony area. You have to walk down the bowl and it's scary. But anyway, it was so fun. I would go. I'm saying Vegas and Seattle, especially Seattle, they both did it right. You know what I mean?
They did.
Because I've yet to go to Seattle, but I will. But that, man, they just did those organizations so well. I was excited for the Kraken, especially when they named it the Kraken. I was like, that was the best name. You know, I was sitting here just, I'm in my, guest room and I'm staring at my Seattle Kraken jersey because I was lucky to get one for Christmas, and I just noticed that the aqua color on it is the same color as this room. It's like exactly the same color. that's probably why I fell in love with that jersey, because I just love all of the colors on that. I know, I'm sorry you're colorblind, but trust me, it is a melange of very pleasing colors. I love it. I love the jersey so much, everything about it. And just noticing now that those two colors are exactly the same, I'm just like, oh my God, so amazing. So now you all know that my guest room is this, the aqua that's on the jersey of the Seattle Kraken. And I paired that with chocolate brown curtains. So you can just imagine what that looks like. Anyway, yeah, so those two franchises did everything correctly. I have no doubt that Murillo will not do it correctly. I don't think any of that proprietary stuff in his hands is good. I think he will try to sell that off to somebody, and it might be in better hands if he does that. I also don't expect him to really do anything but take the money and run.
Yeah, I don't expect it either. He put out a statement saying that, he's still committed to hockey in the desert and all this stuff. And it's just PR. That's all it is. It's lip service. I think anyone who reads those statements can see that and understand that he's not genuine. He's not sincere. He's never acted in good faith with the franchise one bit.
Nope. Oh, well, let's talk about the Shane Doan banner.
Yeah.
That just came out. All right. So apparently the franchise left the Shane Doan retirement banners hanging from the rafters in Gila River Arena, the old place in Glendale. They, Glendale, the Gila River group, did call and try to contact the franchise to give them back the banner. And the franchise did not respond. So what did the arena do? They basically took it down and they threw it away. Now, a very eagle-eyed fan found it before anything bad could happen to it and rescued it and presumably cleaned it up and presented it to Shane Doan last night, who was very happy to take it. And I'm glad that Shane Doan has it, okay? Because it'll be in good hands. But it's sad. It's really sad that that's how it had to go down.
I mean, that's like one of the most important players in your franchise's history. He was the captain forever. Everyone who talks about playing with him talks about how great he was, both on and off the ice. And that's how you treat it. Like, that's how Alex Morello is a piece of shit. Like, come on. It's like he is John Henry levels of a piece of shit. Like, that's who he is.
You cannot claim to care about the franchise and not take the banner with you. Even if you put it in storage until you got into a new arena, that to me is just callousness. You don't care about your former players. You don't care about the team. You don't care about your fans. And make no bones about it. The fans are losing out here. I mean, I know that the fan base, they've tried to grow it, but they've been ass backwards about it. And, you know, if they do get an ownership group out there who does revive the Coyotes, hopefully it's not Murillo, but if they can do that and make it so that fans can actually attend in the Phoenix metro area, right? Because that's kind of important. That's their biggest city. It's the capital. That's where you want to be. If they can do that, that'll be fantastic. But, you know, we'll have to see if that's going to happen. So, look, I feel bad for the fans, but Alex Morello, fuck you. Fuck all the people that work for you.
I know the Diamondbacks put out a statement. I don't know if the Phoenix Suns did, but the Arizona Diamondbacks put out a statement saying how disappointed they were that the Coyotes left and how disappointed they were that the fan base deserves better and deserves a team, and that hockey there is absolutely sustainable. And I think that's true. I think if they worked on the on-ice product, that would have changed everything. But they just didn't. Like, look at the Diamondbacks last year. They made a World Series run, and their field, Chase Field, was at, well, is Chase Field now? It might not be, but that field's changed names so many times. But Chase Field was sold out, rocking with Diamondbacks fans. Diamondbacks fans were pumped. Get a good team together. 3 years ago, the Phoenix Suns made the NBA Finals, and that arena was hopping with Suns fans. Like, get the on-ice product right, and they would have had it. They would have drawn the fan in. Like, mm-hmm. Winning cures all. It really does. And
well, even showing that you're trying to win. Showing that you're trying to win. So you're trying to win is you take on the LTIR contract of somebody else so you can clear some cap space so you can bring somebody else in. You know what I mean? It's weird math, but it is math that works. You know, don't take on so many LTIR contracts, you know, LTI retired, we should say, you know, actually try to show the guys that you drafted that you want them there and that you value them and show them that you're trying to build a good product.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like what Sean Corrales said with the, you know, to the press in Columbus yesterday, where it's kind of like, you know, he was talking about the Bruins. He's like, you know, they lose, you know, they're back in the locker room and it's like one foot in front of the other. It's like they don't dwell on it. They keep going like a motor. It's just hard to stop them because they've got such a good room, basically. So you have to get people in there to make the right room, right? Hopefully they'll do that. You know, up in Utah, the ownership will be better. The GM will be better. The coaching will be better. Everybody's going to encourage these guys to do what they should do to be a better and closer knit team. So
you hope the branding's probably going to be weird and awkward and suck though. I know. So like the owner of the new franchise owns the Utah Jazz, mm-hmm. and the Utah Jazz have rebranded their jerseys recently a couple times, and they're just so plain and then like bright at the same time, and it's so weird. Like, they have some of the best throwback jerseys ever with their purple jerseys with the mountains. Like during the John Stockton era, those jerseys were so good, and they've just rebranded weirdly and just, like I said, bright. Like they use a lot of black, white, and then this weird bright yellow, just highlighter color.
I see it.
And before that, they had these weird, like, sunset jerseys is the best way to describe it, which were different colors of orange. And I think it was trying to, like, mimic the sunset and then, like, the arches, National Park, right? Color of the sand and stuff like that. And they tried at least with that, but those were still really weird as well. So I have no doubt in my mind that whatever the logo, whatever the branding, whatever the colors they use, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, I find it really odd that they would brand it with the arches thing because they are not close together in the state.
No, they are absolutely not. But
I have been to both cities. I mean, I've been to Moab and I've been to Salt Lake. To tell you the truth, I prefer Moab, which is really weird because it's a very small town. It's a small desert town, but it's gorgeous. And I love the vibe.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to live in a place just based on vibes, I would live there, but I would need to drink about a gallon of water every day because holy shit, deserts are dry.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I think when we went to Arches National Park, which is gorgeous, I recommend people go. When we went, I think I went through 2 Nalgenes. So that's 64 ounces of water just being in the park. It was very dry, but I loved it. I would go back again. I'd maybe take two more Nalgene's. And when you hit the like the information center as you enter the park, they have water things so you can refill your water jugs, and they encourage it. It's no charge. Just go to the tap and refill it. I highly worth it. Just, I love it. Everybody should go, but that's a weird brand.
It is. It definitely is a little weird. Also, support your national parks always.
Yep.
Always support your national parks. And I think the same ownership group also owns part of Real Salt Lake.
Yes.
Which is the MLS team. And Real Salt Lake has a nice crest logo. They use like a yellow color. I think a red and a navy blue in their logo, and they have their crest logo is really nice. Their like main crest logo is really nice. So maybe they'll do something that's nice like that. Hopefully, I'd rather have Real Salt Lake's branding than the Utah Jazz in terms of logo and color scheme and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, for now, it's just going to be Utah. That's what they're going to be called.
Yeah, Utah. He doesn't want to rush the owner, Ryan, what was his name, Ryan Smith?
Yep.
Said he didn't want to rush branding. He wanted to let it marinate, basically, and come to the correct decision on what they brand and let it encapsulate the city and all this jargon, just to say we don't know what the fuck we're doing,
but you know what, I actually appreciate that.
That's true.
You know, there were rumors that the Boston PWHL team was going to be called the Wicked, which is makes no sense.
Ooh, that's gross. Yeah, I don't like that.
So and like, wisely, even though they took out the patent on that, or they you know, trademarked that or something, that probably won't be the name of it. So I think it's good. They've taken a whole bunch of trademarks out, but they haven't settled on anything. And I think it's wise, because all of this is moving very fast. I've never seen the sale of an NHL team go this fast, because even the sale of the Senators took a good like 12 to 18 months. And there were many, many different groups in there.
This is one of the faster sales of any sports franchises that I can remember. That usually it's an arduous, long, arduous process that has to get approved and stuff like this. But this was approved pretty quickly. The only way I'm going to say that the Boston Wicked would be okay is if they play show tunes during the games. That's the only way, because the Wicked soundtrack is pretty good. But the Utah franchise did file applications with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for a few. The ones that they did trademark were the Utah Blizzard, the Utah Venom, the Utah Fury, Utah HC, and Utah Hockey Club. And those just sound like arena football team names from like the early 2000s.
Right.
Is like the biggest thing that they remind me of. Or like the XFL from the early 2000s. Like that's what those names kind of remind me of. I don't like them. Blizzard, I get. Snow, Utah, skiing, cool. Venom, I guess there are a lot of snakes in Utah, probably.
Desert, yeah, so.
Fury plays along with the whole bees thing, I guess.
Yes. Yes, I hope it's nothing bee related, honestly. That's a little too close to the Mormon thing for me.
Yeah.
The Deseret and stuff like that. But, you know, you know what? It's good that they're going to take time to figure it out. Trademark all the things you want. That doesn't mean anything right now. Take your time. I'm thinking about, you know, talking with regards to how fast this was sold. And the only thing I can think of that sold just as fast was it the Clippers? Or the Golden State Warriors, who was owned by that racist guy.
Yeah, that was the Clippers. That's the only, yeah. But that's like because he was racist and they wanted to get him out as soon as possible.
Exactly. David Silver said, "You're not going to be the owner of this team anymore."
One name that I have heard about Utah that they should do, and this is from Jeff Mannix, and Jeff Mannix is the voice of Maine Ice Hockey on TV. Mm-hmm. He also does the Maine Celtics on the radio. He also does a local sports radio show with his brother called the Mannix Brothers. Mm-hmm. And he also apparently is on the Bruins Diehards podcast.
Oh, okay.
So he thinks they should be the Utah Yetis, which I love. That would be cool branding. You could get some really cool logos, branding, mascot with the Utah Yetis.
I like the alliteration.
Yes.
Or is it consonants at that point? Utah Yetis, just because the yeah sound.
It flows. I like that.
It does. I don't know how many Yetis are in Utah, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a pretty brief review of the whole situation. It's very sad. So let's just recap. We're sad for the fans of the Coyotes. Hopefully you will get the team that you deserve in the future without Alex Murillo.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see. We're sad for the fans of the Sabres because you guys are diehard and you are there. And you deserve a good product. I mean, I think fans of any sport deserve a good product. If you're going and you're paying money, or if you're spending your time watching that team, it doesn't even have to be paying money, okay? I watch way too many Bruins games during the year on TV. Way more than I probably should. More than is healthy. And I would say I'm a deserving fan. I don't even have to spend money. I do spend money, but I don't have to spend money. You don't have to spend money. If you are paying attention to a team in any meaningful way, you deserve a good team. You know, life is hard.
You do.
You shouldn't have to be a grinder when you're coming down, home to watch a game. You know, you deserve the best. That's the way I look at it. Mic drop.
Wow. Hey. Also, one last thing with Utah. According to Ryan Smith, as of an hour ago, mm-hmm. they've had 11,000 season ticket deposits so far.
Nice. Nice.
So people will be showing up, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Even with obstructed views.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, you know what? Good. Good for them. I'm glad Salt Lake City is getting a team. I just hope that Arizona fans get what they deserve, and that isn't Alex Murillo.
Yeah, they deserved better.
Yes.
They deserved way better. This feels like when – it feels a lot like when the Browns left Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Or even worse
– Colts?
The Colts in the middle of the frickin' night.
Yeah, yeah. It feels a lot like those.
My dad was a Colts fan, and then he could never be a Colts fan after that. Because that was just outrageous. You know, I remember that happening and I was, I don't know, 10 at the time, maybe a little older. I remember it happening and I remember being like disheartened and sad for people, you know, that I didn't really know because it was like they had their team ripped out from under them in the middle of the night. They didn't even say anything ahead of time. They just packed everything up and left. At least Art Modell had the balls to say it in the season. Then the team drastically underperformed. Belichick got fired because he also couldn't keep the team together. So he deserved to be fired. It's okay. It ruined people's lives and stuff. And I know that Arizona or former Arizona players now – Utah players are saying like everybody has to be uprooted and it sucks. And I get it. It sucks. You know, but you won't have that lousy owner anymore.
You won't. But I also read that, and I don't know how true this ended up being. I also read that the only part of the operation that's moving is the hockey ops side of things, that the business side wasn't. Which would mean that all those people on the business side would lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just hiring all new people.
Yep.
If that's the case, if that does end up being the case, that sucks so hard.
It does and it doesn't, because you get the feeling that a lot of the people that they hired on the business side were just as shady as Murillo.
That's fair.
I know that you have people in there who are not in the day-to-day things, you know, and that does suck for them. You know, you might have like an accountant, a low-level accountant doing stuff, you know, just trying to balance some books who are just like, you know, affected by that. You might have people who were trying to sell season tickets. Well, yeah, okay. That sucks too. But, you know, that also means none of Murillo's associates will be continuing on this adventure, and they don't deserve to.
I wonder if part of that is that Ryan Smith and ownership did some type of background case study on all the business personnel and decided, yeah, just cut it out and hire new people. I wonder if that's part of it, because we know how shady things have been. When you make an acquisition like a whole ass franchise, you're obviously going to be doing your due diligence.
Yep.
I wonder if part of that was just a background on the business practices of the office, I guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing had been in motion for a year and a half, you know, since when they moved into the Mullet Arena. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody in the NHL put a bug in Ryan Smith's ear and said, like, hey, or put it out in different cities that, you know, we could be looking at moving this franchise because we need to get this guy out, because everything happens so quickly as it looks. But to do the kind of things that you need to do to buy a team, I bet you they've been working on it for at least a solid 6 months to a year. So
yeah, probably in the background. That would make sense. It sucks how it came out. It sucks how the players found out that it was like leaked, and then ownership was like denying, and then Morello flew to wherever they were and was like, yeah, this is actually true. You're all going to Utah.
Yeah. And they had a press conference scheduled and they canceled it 10 minutes before and said they would do it the next day. I mean, it's just so shitty, so shady. Yeah, I figure like the memo from Salt Lake City being put out was like, I bet you that whole thing had been in motion for a very long time. So it might have come to a surprise to lots of people, but not to the NHL. I mean, you know that Bettman and other people who work under Bettman knew about the problems. And these are just the problems we know about. There's probably lots of other things that we'll find out later. But it is done. The Arizona Coyotes are no more as of right now. They are packing up operations, not the business side, and moving up to St. Louis. Let's try that again. Salt Lake City. All right. Tim, we have one more thing to talk about.
Okay.
Jack Edwards.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I can't remember if we talked about Jack Edwards before. I mean, we have, obviously, for years now. He came out with an interview with Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, said, I know that my skills are not as great. They are slowing down. I have had all sorts of neurological appointments and studies done, and I've not had a stroke. I don't have a brain bleed. I don't have Alzheimer's or dementia. I don't have anything that they can detect. And he was going to speech therapy to work on his speech. And after that, he seemed like he was doing pretty well. And then the Bruins traded for Pat Maroon, and Jack just kind of started falling off a cliff. I'm not saying that the one caused the other. I'm just saying that it all culminated this week in Jack Edwards finally announcing that he will be retiring after this playoff series. I'm sad. As Jeff said, he's not going out at the top of his game, but people rarely do these days.
Sure.
But as Jeff also said, you know, if he wants to get those 100 days of skiing in per year, this is a good time for it for him, because he doesn't seem to be lacking those skills. It's just, you know, his ability to do play-by-play is affected. And it was really wonderful to see the tributes this week from like Elliot Friedman and Greg Wyshynski talking about how, like, of course he's a homer. That's who you want calling your local games. You want somebody who loves the team and who's invested in the team.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. He grew up a Bruins fan, got to live his dream calling for the team that he grew up cheering for. And
he got a ring out of it.
Moments that were, he got a ring out of it. There are so many moments we're grateful for to have him calling the game. He seems like he's a great dude off the ice as well. And I just hope nothing but the best for him in retirement. And next season, the first season without him, is definitely not going to be the same.
No, it will not. I think I'm glad that he's going now before it gets much worse for him.
Sure.
So, like, he's 67. He has time to go do things and, enjoy the rewards of his career. You know, I think his wife is also a reporter who travels. So he'll be able to stay home. I think they still have some kids at home. He'll be able to stay home with them and, you know, spend more time with them while she's out doing her thing. And I think that's good. Or maybe she'll retire too. Who knows? But I'm glad that nothing is really wrong with him now. And I'm glad he gets to do other things. It's sad. But I think we should focus on the happy side for him. I mean, he got to call so many memorable moments. Maybe not the Stanley Cup win, but you know, he got a ring out of that. That's great. He has so many things that are he's forever immortalized on like YouTube and on Nesson clips and all of that. So good for him.
Yeah.
Good job, Jack. You know, we're going to enjoy this last series. What a series for him to call.
What a series, yeah. I wouldn't want him going out any other way than a Leaf series.
Yeah, maybe the team just did it for him. They were just like, let's just play the Leafs. It'll be fun for Jack.
Yeah.
All right. So now, I don't have much more to talk about. I think I am done. I'm tired. You're tired. We're all tired. You got to talk to your mom. So let's wrap up this show. We only have one game that we know of right now. It is Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the Garden. It's going to be Bruins Leafs, obviously. And I wonder if they're going to wear their centennial jerseys because they've been doing that against the original six teams all year. I wonder if they do that in the playoffs. I mean, it was good luck all year. I say do it. Do it.
Yeah, why not?
You can do it on the road too. It's fantastic. Just wear the same jerseys. I've got it all. I have planned their sartorial choices for them. You can thank me later. Anyway, so I think it's on TBS, but it's also on Nesson. So if you're not in the greater New England area, it's for you on TBS. And if you are in New England, hopefully you have access to Nesson. Anyway, that'll be fun. And I guess I'm just going to wrap up the show. You've been listening to Barely on Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to us. It always makes us really happy to know that people out there are listening to the dumb things that we say because we're like your dumb friends talking about hockey. Yes. Anyway, you can find us on any number of podcasts, aggregates, and real simple syndication feeds anywhere, basically. You've already found us, so I don't need to tell you more about that. And you can contact us in person by going to at Barely on Topic on Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. It's always Twitter. On Facebook at Barely on Topic Podcast. And at our normal handles, I'm at VA from RI.
I am at Tim A. Richardson. Jeff is at Dr. Hand Grenade AID, and Nick is at Nick Baggio.
Yes. So have a great week. Enjoy that first game and more games. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.